Not how you start.
How you finish.
All right, we're going to chapter 7. Chapter 7. All right. The characteristics of breakthrough believers. So we're going to take a look at the characteristics of breakthrough believers. And the characteristics include, number one, move ahead to pioneer a new move of God. Number two, moved under intense pressure to set the pace. Number three, moved without compromise to deliver the unadulterated truth of God. Number four, moved in progressive revelation to stay relevant. And number five, moved under subjection to authority. Number six, moved collectively and corporately towards destiny. And number seven, moved with a prevailing mentality to influence the community. All right, so there's a clear distinctive characteristics in these believers. Their unique features allow them to be singled out from the masses. Those who see them will know that they are making the difference. And those who they meet will know the kingdom presence of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So he's talking about these breakthrough believers. It's just going to be a difference about them. You know, I was thinking about, the finishing generations. We are the finishing generation. We are the people who going to, we're going to stay in this thing, and we're going to see God, what he promised fulfilled in our lives. You know, the one of the things about this is that these people, you know, really have to be trained. In Isaiah 61:9, it said, then their offspring will be known among the nations and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them will recognize them because they are offsprings whom the Lord has blessed. Then in Acts 11, 19 to 24, so then they who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and the number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church that was at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart and remain true to the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Now, you know, even in this thing, you know, at the end of chapter 6, you know, they was talking about, witnessing to the community and that kind of thing and stuff. You know, one of the things that Apostle talk about is that, I mean, he just said it recently. He said, you know, we've really been fishing in our own pond. And so the believers don't understand their job is to really, you can't come to church and just get fat. And just sit on the pews, sit in the chairs and just, get the word and stuff. Just to say, you know, I got the word. No, it's a purpose for that. And if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, then we have to make sure that we are telling other folk about Christ and bringing them in. So in applying the governing principles mentioned in the last chapter, we'll be able to raise a new breed whom the church can be built upon and the kingdom advance through. These breakthrough believers reveal unique characteristics that set them apart from the normal institutional church believers. See, I say this all the time, but it almost seems like people on the street, once they get saved, seem like they get it a whole lot quicker than people that's been in church a long time. You know, you almost want to take your church on the street. You know, your pulpit on the street, just preach to the people out on the street, because they respond differently. Because a lot of times people in church, you know, they just, you know, just kind of nonchalant and, you know, well, praise the Lord, you know, because this is the mentality that most church folk have. I'm coming in here to get what I can get for me. See what the Lord, I want to hear what the Lord has to say to me about my situation. Never really thinking about my job is really to get other folks saved. So what is it that I can do for the kingdom of God? Instead of looking, trying to find out what the kingdom can do for me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So God has placed upon them unique characteristics that will set them apart to make them different in this dying world. Now, number one characteristic, moved ahead to pioneer a new move of God. They have the ability to move ahead. See, and that's one of the things that I thank God for Apostle for, because you know, I've been in church for a long time, and I knew that there was just more that God wanted for us. You know what I'm saying? And so Apostle has always had a pioneering spirit. He's always pioneering. He's always seeking God for something fresh. And so in him doing that, I mean, that's some things that God has revealed to him that is helping. If the church just open their eyes and just listen and hear what the Spirit of God is saying in the house today. See, the revelation that Apostle has about the soul and soul wounds, the thing that's been stopping the church from really, and once they really get a hold of that, because we didn't really know that, you know, when they're talking about the soul, we really didn't know they was, when the scripture talk about the heart, we thought they were talking about the spirit. Yes, and so Apostle has brought a lot of understanding and revelation. And see, this is what the pioneer spirit does, the apostolic. We beginning to hear things that we were in the dark about before. But now through revelation and the reality of the scripture being unfolded to us, now we'll begin to see what's been hindering us. And we can not only see it, but he's given us principles by which we can work to get ourselves out of the rut. Yes, sir. And be the effective people of God that God intends for us to be. And man, I think that they're just marvelous. That's just a marvelous thing that. But the thing about it is, most of the church. No, I don't want to say that. I won't say that. I won't say that. I finna say most of the church won't hear it. No, I don't want to say that. I think that when people get through getting beat up bad enough, they're going to be ready to listen. They get through getting their tail whooped. You understand what I'm saying? And with something that's been happening for a long time. And see, the enemy is so crafty in what he does. He's so crafty. The person who God has given a message to, let's just like say the message that God gave him about money cometh, you know, I followed back when, you know, Billy Graham had the great crusades and stuff, you know, people getting saved and that sort of thing and stuff. You know, I followed, you know, when people get filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, and it was something that the church really hadn't seen before. And so that was, you know, I remember in a Baptist church. We had a guy coming in. He started talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, we ain't know nothing about that. We shut down Bible study early. But when we got filled with the Holy Ghost, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I went talking to my pastor. Say, Pastor, this is something else. It got something else out here that we don't know nothing about. And my pastor got filled with the Holy Ghost. And the church, it turned the church. The church went to a whole nother level after that, you know. So I've seen that. I went stood in lines when they had these healing revivals, and you know what I'm saying? I mean, people trampling over each other and that kind of thing. And but the thing about it is, God give a man a message about money cometh, and the only thing that is the difference from the other things that happened. Well, Seymour was a black man, and then they had another guy came, Parnham, he came and tried to steal it. And but the thing about it is, with apostles, a lot of times people think that, you know, because you're black, you know, you shouldn't be carrying a message like this. And a whole lot of it's a whole lot of the black folk. But see, if they all they had to do is come down here and let a pastor help them get the nigga out their soul. You understand what I'm saying? And they wouldn't have this old crazy way of thinking. If a person got a revelation, God has given a revelation to a man or a woman, I mean, and it's based on the word of God. I can't understand why people can't come and hear and follow. I mean, you know, apostle talk about that meeting that they were called them to, and the Lord told him not to go, you know, and I thank the Lord he didn't go. I thank God he didn't go, because we would either be broke or broker. Praise the Lord. But because he's a pioneer, God put him out here. You understand what I'm saying? A man that really loved God. I don't know. It seems like folk cling more to a person who, you know, who whore around and have no morals and just don't have no character. Like people just, you know, just flock to that kind of thing and stuff. You know what I'm saying? But here, man, got the proof, got the he got the results. He got it all. You understand what I'm saying? And then folk have nerves enough. I've been in a restaurant. I've been in a restaurant. You say, well, I need this here. Hey, you know, I mean, just nasty for no reason. But in a lot of times, it's not people that know him. It's just something that he's carrying that people can't handle. You understand? I mean, he just got it. When you got it, you got it. So there ain't no sense to have no debates. There ain't no sense to have no arguments. There ain't no sense to have no meetings. You know, praise the Lord. So I've seen when he'll ask a person. He said he said what you know about Jesus, and they go to talk about Jesus, and then he'll ask them, you know, about what their future, what they plan to do and stuff, and then, you know, he just go in his pocket and stuff and say, here go $100. I remember one time we was all sitting at a table and stuff, and this they had this girl over here. When we came in the restaurant, she was real nasty. You know, she was real, you know. So I had this other girl come. She was real nice. So when we got ready to bless the girl, so happened the girl who was nasty came over that was talking to her. And we wound up blessing the girl right in front of the girl who was nasty. And that girl got about $500-$600. You know what I'm saying? She got my five. And boy, that old girl that was nasty, boy, I bet she kicked herself. And then the girl started crying. The girl said, y'all don't have no idea. Her car note, apartment rent or something was behind. But the Holy Ghost had her in the right position and had somebody there that could hear from God and was blessed and bless the girl. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Praise the Lord. And the thing about it is, now, our wives was there, so we wouldn't know a bunch of preachers sitting there. You understand what I'm saying? Our wives, we was all together. We blessed them. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. But they have ability to move ahead, to pioneer a new move for kingdom advancement, breaking barriers of culture, race, and human limitations. Every pioneer will have to face the challenges of being willing to be a seed that will fall to the ground and die alone. And then after death has taken, it shall bear much fruit. See, you got to be willing to die in order for fruit to really produce. The seed got to fall to the ground and die. And see, that's one of the things that apostle is teaching. If every person who sits under apostle, they just listen carefully, he's always trying to get us to another place, another level, another dimension. He's always trying to challenge us to go. You know, he can't go home with us. But the thing about it is that we just take what he's teaching us and apply it. You see astounding results in your life. And as a pioneer, we have to face the lack of role models and examples in the field we are advancing. You may not see a whole lot of folk who are going the same way you're going. If we have any other agenda or passion for glamour, it all fade away. See, that's what most people are looking for. That's what most people, a lot of folk, I think there's a lot of genuine people who join LTMA who just want to be trained, developed, and taught by apostle. But there's a lot of folk that don't come because they are looking for glamour. They're looking for the lights. They're looking to be a part of who's who. And that sort of thing. And that doesn't mount to a hill of beans. If you're not packing anything, you're not packing no anointing, you're not packing no revelation, then, you know, the glam and all that kind of thing, all that's going to fade away. You got to know the importance of allowing somebody who has the experience, who has the knowledge and the ability to impart. You got to allow them to impart, and you have to be open to receive. Our choosing to move ahead will open up new territories for God to impact the regions around us. I believe before it's all said and done, amen, we're going to make an impact that, I mean, the world, they will know about those that God is raising up in Darrow, in Baton Rouge, and places around. Hallelujah. This second characteristic, move under intense pressure to set the pace. These breakthrough believers have the ability to move under intense pressure, allowing God to fashion their character. See, when I said this, I'm going to say it again. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts, and you're going to have to see. Following God, sometimes you got to paddle upstream. When everybody else is going downhill, you know, going down the stream, you got to be paddling uphill. You just can't go with the crowd. You can't go with the crowd. Do like Moses, you follow the cloud, not the crowd. And so, in following God, many times, you know, it's gonna be a lot of pressure on you. That's why you can't be flaky. You can't be flaky. You can't. That's why you got to. You have to allow God to. There's some things that you're going to go through in life that's going to help to shape you. But you can't be running every time a little situation come up, screaming and hollering and kicking and trying to get out of it. You understand what I'm saying? Because some people, they just want to go the easy way. You know, well, I can't just don't have no kind of hardship, no kind of, because you're not going to ever be what God wants you to be. Because as soon as you get to a certain place and trials and tests begin to come up, you're going to be kicking and screaming. And God said, how in the world can I use them to continue to work when they're so busy licking their own wounds? Hallelujah. So the character is built under pressure. Allowing God to fashion their character and raise the standard for the succeeding generations to follow. Somebody need to see you able to go through something and keep on going. Somebody watching you. That there are your life. Some people will never read the Bible, but they're going to be watching your life. What will they see? Will they see somebody who perseveres? Or they'll see somebody who surrenders and gives up? Praise God. These breakthrough beliefs, see these characteristics here. I mean, you got to be able to put your nose to the grind. I mean, and Apostle Paul said like this. Apostle Paul said, I press. In pressing, there has to be some resistance if you're going to be pressing. You understand what I'm saying? He's pressing his way. He said, but while I'm pressing, I'm not going to be remembering all those failures that I had in the past. I forget those things that are behind me. I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling. The high mark of the high calling is Colossians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That's the mark to know Christ. All right. So the pressure of persecution produced a better quality of men for the kingdom, to my men and women. The prevailing mindset and an overcoming spirit allowed the breakthrough believers to rise above the sufferings to advance the kingdom of God. You know that it's about the kingdom of God. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. So no matter. Now, this is what you got. This is what you really have to be careful. Careful. You really have to be careful, because when there's a pioneering of a new move of God, you're going to hear religious folk crying. Yes, sir. Religious folk will be saying, oh, we don't do that like that at our church. Right. That's why y'all church are not going anywhere. Right. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. And the size don't mean that you're going somewhere. Right. You know what I'm saying? So many folk, there's going to be a whole lot of dogs barking. Whole lot of folk that try to tell you, even relative, you know, y'all going down there to that church? You know, y'all ever heard that? Y'all going down there to that church? Yes, we're going. Yes, we're going. Yes. And our life is changing because as a result of us going. Yeah, you can't be ashamed about this. Who your pastor is? Apostle. Apostle Thompson. Not just an imposter. I'm talking about an apostle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some people, they're afraid to tell where they go to church at. Right. You know, because people, let the folk talk. Yes. Because they're going to see, if they keep looking, they're going to see something. Yes. And they're going to see people moving in a vein that they're not moving in. Yes. Y'all with me? Yes. So that's why, you know, when it comes down to when it comes down to church, all right, I'm just thinking about something. You know, years ago, when I first got saved, Pastor Calvin was my pastor. And so after I had moved on, some years after I had moved on, and I went and sat in his house. The Spirit of God told me to go talk to him. I went to his house. You know, he was pastoring. He was a pastor, but you know, he had somebody he was following as a spiritual father. But I went to sit down and talk to him. I said, man, God told me to come talk to you. I said, you need a spiritual father. He said, well, I got one. I said, who? And he told me who he was. And I asked him, how often is he in his presence? He said, well, you know, they have conferences, you know, probably twice a year and stuff. I said, that's the only time you're in a man's presence? I said, yeah, that's not really a spiritual father. That's not really what that is. And so I said to him, I said, I want to invite you to camp meeting. All I want you to do is come to one service. That's all. I said, if you're not convinced after one service, go ahead on back to where you've been going. He came one service. And that night when I saw him, after the service was over, he said, I'll be back tomorrow night. And so he was there every night after that. And then he told me the last night, he said, I'm calling in, giving my resignation to the other organization. I'm going to be a part of this. Wow. See, I know if a person got any kind of spirituality, God talking to them any kind of way, all they got to do is just get them in the presence of a real apostle, real man or woman of God, and something going to change in them. And so, you know, he had reached a stage in his ministry and stuff where he was stagnated. And I knew, you know, God had more than that in store for him. I said, man, you need to. And so in the process, you know, I pushed him. You know, he joined LTMA. He was in the circle that I lead. And so I said, you need to make it to the meetings. He getting mad, but I didn't care. No. God trying to get you somewhere. See, unless there got to be a little pressure put on you. In order for you to really step out. You know, I said, you need to travel more. You need to travel. Well, you know, my ministry. Don't give me no excuses about that. I said, If you get in your heart, God gonna put the money in your hand. All you gotta do is get in your heart. So I just had to keep a little pressure on him. You understand what I'm saying? And so when it came down time, you know, for Matriarchs and Founders Day, and he tell me this is his pledge. I said, you can do better than that. I said, you got a whole year to prepare. Don't be throwing no numbers out there. I said, ask God. I asked, do it take faith for that? No, that's in the bank. Well, don't take faith for it. I said, get you a number that take faith for. Praise the Lord. That was a lot of folk real comfortable in their giving. But when it comes down time for them to believe God for something, you can believe God for anything else. Why you can't believe God for honor seed? So I just push him a little more. Praise the Lord. He said, okay, all right, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and do it. You know, he kind of reluctantly, you know, kind of a little growl in the voice. But I ain't pay no attention to it. And so when the time came, he said, the Lord gave me every dime of it. I said, that's what I was trying to tell you. But you can't just be in a comfortable place. A place where, you know, nobody's challenging you. Hallelujah. We must be trained to never fall back, but push forward despite hardships and pressure. In Psalm 78, 9 and 10, it says the sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. So the sons of Ephraim had a double portion blessing of grace upon them. They were trained and skilled men of war, but chose to break covenant with God when they were most needed for national victory. See, when we learned about covenant is real strong. And when we made covenant with God, when it's time for us to show up, we need to show up. And we don't need to be reneging on what we told God we would do. See, this is the thing. All right. If God told me to follow apostle, all right, so that now my following apostle has nothing to do with whether apostle reproves me, whether he reprimands me, he scorns me. That don't have nothing to do with my following. God told me to follow. You understand what I'm saying? But sometimes people have their feeling on the shoulder so much, and they can't really get what God wants them to have. And sometimes, see, this is how God works. God will have the very person who he's called to lead you. That's time when God will use them to test you. Without the person even realize that they're testing you. But God is testing you and trying to see whether or not you will stay for the battle. Are you gonna hide, tuck tail, and run when things get hot? One thing you got to know the people that are around you. When things get hot, when people start talking and stuff, will they still stay and hang in there with you? And help to advance the kingdom and the work that God has placed in your hand. So it can't be some people they've been to certain places, and because they've had, I had a gentleman that told me, you know, he said, John LTMA, he said that, you know, he was in an organization and stuff, you know, he was real high in the organization and that kind of thing. So we was interviewing him. I said, well, don't look for that in LTMA, because we're not going to cater to you. See, sometimes people come in with the wrong agenda. With the wrong mindset, and they thinking, you know, that this is something like the organization they was a part of before, and they're gonna have an opportunity to take a ride on the apostle plane. That ain't gonna happen. You understand what I'm saying? See, God, there's no way in the world that apostle can be hands on with everybody. So God has to raise up people around him with his spirit that can help other people to get in line and do the thing that they need to do without being so easily discouraged. My God. Breakthrough believers are not quitters. They do not allow the enemy to come through them to defeat Israel. They station themselves wisely so that they're always the strongest link of the chain. Not the weakest, but the strongest link of the chain. Nehemiah 4:13. Then I stationed men in the lowest part of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people in families with their spears, with their swords, spears, and bows. The most exposed places are guarded by the presence of the strongest men. You got to have some folk that's not going to flinch, that's not going to be bagging up, not going to quit, not going to cave in, not going to be crying. Nobody know what I'm going through. My God. Lord have mercy. I was at this preacher's church. I went preach for him. And this has been years ago because I don't go preach for folk no more. I don't do that because my agenda is to follow apostle. No, I'm not going. No. Now, I don't know if I told you all about this. Let me go ahead on this. Praise the Lord. I got to be careful. Now, I won't get no trouble. But this guy asked me, we on the plane together. The guy asked me, say, man, where you going? I said, I'm following my spiritual father. He we got a meeting. He said, you following him? He said, how do you travel? I said, no, I just follow him traveling with him. And he went to telling me about this money he was making by being an itinerary. He a pastor, but he an itinerary preacher. So he told me, he said, man, look, I make like $150,000 a year just traveling and preaching. And so I didn't want to say nothing. I said, sir, I said, I got about three times much as that last year just following an apostle. He said, he pay y'all. I said, no. I'm talking about because we learned the principle that he's teaching. And we're not going after money. Money's coming after us. You understand what I'm saying? So, boy, he was dumbfounded. He, can you get him to come preach for me? I said, no, we can't get him to do that. He said, you're a son, aren't you? I said, yeah, but we don't play games like that. You scratch my back. We don't play those kind of games. So you just got some folk and stuff that's out there. You understand what I'm saying? They just out there. My God. Hallelujah. But I try to help people, you know, as much as I can. But I don't go nowhere talking about no preaching for folk. No. Somebody say, well, Pastor, hold on. What you mean you don't? I said, No. The only way that I go somewhere, apostle will have to send me. See, this is a whole new way of doing things. The church been so, you know, when I'm going to get my opportunity, when I'm going to get my time to shine. Your life, you ought to have your time while you're living your life. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the glory to your Father. So you ought to be shining. Your life ought to be shining. Praise the Lord. All right. God needs this company of fearless defenders of the kingdom. They defy hell and all that is against them in order to complete their mission. When these mighty men arise, that's the point I was trying to say. All right. If you start following all these preaching stuff, they're trying to tell you this here, you know, this is what's happening to me. And that's what's happening to me. Well, it may not be happening to me yet. But I'm in the process, and the thing about it is, I'm trying to find out, you know, how to follow God in a more pursuing way than I am about trying to get this here, trying to get that, trying to get some kind of status. The Lord asked me a question. This been a few years ago. The Lord asked me a question. Who taught you how to follow me? I started thinking. I had many men, you know, who taught me. But guess what? The way that apostle pursued God was a way that I'd never seen. I'm just telling the truth. You want me to tell you the truth? You want me to lie to you? I'm not going to lie to you. I just ain't never seen nobody with this kind of intensity following God. I saw people, you know, following. I had one pastor told me, say you're supposed to lock up on a Saturday. All day Saturday, you don't be around your family, don't be around nobody, so you can preach Sunday. But when I came to apostle say, no, you can't study to preach, you got to study to live. And you got to always be pursuing God. I said, wait a minute, I ain't never heard this before. And so, if you're following God just casually, where you learn that from? Where'd you get that from? You didn't get that out of the Bible. You got that from somebody. But you have to, that's why you have to surround yourself with people that really have a hunger for God, that's really going after God with everything that's in them. Because it's going to, what it's going to do, it's going to whet your appetite. But if you're around people that just nonchalant, just churchgoers, I don't want to just be around churchgoers. I want to be around just around people who just going to church and putting their hands up, running around the church and that kind of thing and stuff, and then ain't living nothing. Praise the Lord. When these mighty men arise, the standards in the house of God will be raised. The next company of fellowship will walk into higher order of kingdom living. Number three, I got a minute and something. Number three, characteristic number three. Move without compromise to deliver the unadulterated truth of God. The breakthrough believers continue to teach and preach what they have heard from the apostles in Jerusalem. See, we preach what we hear apostle preaching. And everybody that's in LTMA, pastors in LTMA, they don't need to be going all, you know, trying to get no new revelation. Just preach what apostles preaching. Well, if apostles getting results, and God don't have no respect to person, I'm preaching what he preaching, then the people that I'm preaching to ought to get the same results the people he preaching to are getting. Y'all with me? They deliver what they receive without adulterating or compromising the message of truth. Praise God. See, when it comes down to money coming, I mean, we preach what the apostle preach. Yes, indeed. God said, if I give, it shall be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. And guess what? It's happening. Just like he said. Because it's not how you start. It's how you finish. Praise God.